This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Politics provides a lively arena in which people can freely express their opinions. Though, as one wag put it, while everyone is entitled to their opinion, they're not entitled to their own facts. Of course, politicians often try to bolster their opinions with statements that sound like facts. Sometimes they're even true. But it does pay to fact-check office holders and candidates to hold them accountable. This may be especially important in the area of science. Joining me now is Eugene Kiley. He is the director of FactCheck.org. The group runs SciCheck, a site that checks facts about science claims. He's participating in a panel called Science on the Campaign Trail, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. It takes place tonight, 7 o'clock, Research Triangle Park. Welcome, Eugene. Good to have you here on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Sherry Kirschenbaum. She's director of ScienceDebate.org, a group that advocates for a science policy debate among presidential candidates. Welcome back, Cheryl. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Eugene, tell me about the objective behind SciCheck and why it is so important to fact check on these scientific claims.
Well, we developed SciCheck in the beginning of 2015. The purpose of it behind it was for our organization, factcheck.org, is to fact check claims that are made by politicians in the public policy arena. And the importance of it being that you can't have an agreement, good reason debate to come up with good public policy without having it grounded in the best facts available and the best evidence.
So how do you go about it? Do you wait for someone to bring a claim to you, or are you scanning the news to look for facts to check?
Yeah, good question. We are scanning the news looking for facts to check. Right now, we're following the 2016 presidential debate, so we're following the candidates when they're giving speeches in rallies, when they're giving TV interviews, when they're participating in debates. And what we're looking for is not just science claims, because we're factcheck.org and we're fact-checking everything. But when we do find something that's about science, we pass it on. We're talking about climate change, GMO, Zika. We're passing that on to the science writer that we now have, who has the training to do this specific kind of reporting and research.
Well, Cheryl, tell us a little bit about ScienceDebate.org. What's the goal there?
Well, we think that every candidate running for president should tell us what their science policies would look like if elected. So ScienceDebate.org is a nonpartisan push for a live, televised and live-streamed presidential debate on science policy. The issues that Eugene was just talking about are often treated as special interest, and yet science is so inherently related to who we are and how we live.
I mean, that's interesting to think about that kind of debate, because on the one hand, you can imagine, you know, stem cell research or what to do about, various kinds of genetic testing and questions that have to do with science and public policy. But then there's the question about public policy and science, and I wonder if this is part of it. For instance, do you look at fossil fuels as a cause of global warming, and do I want to know what you think about the relationship between the two before I vote for you?
Right. So Science Debate has no interest in quizzing the candidates on facts and that sort of thing. We simply want to hear what things would look like if they're holding office. And we leave it to the fact checkers to weigh in on their responses. But you know, you'll often hear, I'm not a scientist, I can't answer that. And they're not economists, they talk about the economy. They're not diplomats, they talk about foreign policy. So we believe it should be the expectation rather than the exception to hear about all of these different kinds of issues.
And when you approach this frontally, it's a little bit easier to fact check, because it's not just an oblique, you know, a sort of an aside or a parenthetical statement that supported an argument, but a direct, a direct argument and a position. Well, let's talk about about keeping people accountable. I'm going to play a clip that touches on science. This is Hillary Clinton. She's speaking at a rally in Tampa in March, and we'll talk about whether or not this is a claim worthy of fact checking.
It is the height of irresponsibility and neglect for anybody in a position of authority not to recognize that Florida will be the most at risk from climate change of any of our states.
All right, there's Hillary Clinton. She's in Tampa. This is March. My guests are the director of factcheck.org, Eugene Kiley, the director of sciencedebate.org, Cheryl Kirschenbaum. They're participating in a panel tonight called Science on the Campaign Trail, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. So, Eugene, is that something you would check out?
Well, we didn't check that one. We could, though, mm-hmm. by taking a look at what kind of impacts is already going on in Florida and what is projected out in the future.
Of course, here's the thing. Here's where it gets slippery. If you were to say the most affected,
right.
you might mean the greatest level of sea level rise. Mm-hmm. You might mean the
right.
greatest economic impact, because if I've got a lot of industry on the coast and you've got a state that doesn't, you know, 6 inches in South Carolina might not be 6 inches in Florida.
Right. And what we would do in that case is, and what we do in fact-checking in general, go to the Clinton campaign and ask them, what is she talking about? What evidence do you have? Because the burden's on the person who is making the claim. And then we take a look at the evidence that they're providing, do research of our own, and then come up with a conclusion. Is it Florida? Is it Alaska? You know, that would require some research.
And Cheryl, here's the other issue that we have to take into account. Politicians often tell us they're not scientists, and neither are we. And so if Hillary Clinton wants to make that claim, who am I to challenge it? And if we come back afterwards and hear kind of a long description of what she meant by most affected, you know, we need to be pretty well versed ourselves, don't we, in order to interpret this information.
Well, you're touching on broader science literacy, which is admittedly what I'm most passionate about. And science literacy is remarkably low across the U.S. and around the world, unfortunately. But ideally, that will change. I'm encouraged, though, because, I mean, certainly this cycle, we're hearing a lot more about science, not just climate change, but a variety of issues in the primaries alone. And as a comparison, I can tell you we were following the candidates leading up to the 2008 election, so two elections ago. Climate change or global warming as terms only came up in almost 3,000 interviews with the main two candidates, McCain and Obama, just six times. And for comparison, unidentified flying objects came up three times.
Okay.
So we're already hearing a lot about that issue and many others this time. And I'm encouraged that things are changing a bit.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there are politicians who would equate climate change with UFOs, suggesting that neither one exists. So here's an example of that.
Do you believe in global warming, climate change? Do you think the world's going to change for the worse because it's getting warmer?
I think that there'll be little change here. It'll go up. It'll get a little cooler. It'll get a little warmer like it always has for millions of years. It'll get cooler. It'll get warmer. It's called weather.
There we go. Bill O'Reilly talking to Donald Trump last December. My guests are the director of factcheck.org, Eugene Kiley, the director of sciencedebate.org, Cheryl Kirschenbaum. They're participating in a panel tonight called Science on the Campaign Trail, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. So, Eugene, I mean, this is a kind of a tricky question or part of a group, I guess, of science issues that fall into the category of reasonable doubt. There's enough doubt raised. There are some reports out there, bona fide reports, that raise questions about climate change. So what do we mean when we say fact when we're talking about science? Because we know the scientific community continues to debate these things.
Right. Well, I think the debate's been settled on climate change, but and it is not a fact. It's the best evidence that we have. In this clip where Donald Trump is talking about weather, we did something very similar that Ted Cruz said something very similar to this. And we did a fact check on it. And the fact is that you can only explain the change in weather based on natural phenomenon to a certain extent. And then there's additional change that's occurring that's over and above that, that is well documented.
And this is what the preponderance of scientific. So this is kind right. of what we go with in any situation, because ultimately there may be some countervailing counter research. There's just not enough of it. So we have to go forward with what we have the most of. Well, joining me now, I want to talk to Bill Adair. He is also with me, and he's the creator of PolitiFact, and he's part of the international fact-checking network in this big, wide world of ours. He's going to participate in the panel tonight, too. Welcome back, Bill. Good day.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
You're part of the international fact-checking network, the the worldwide fact check web. Has this industry grown? Are we paying more attention to this kind of thing?
It's amazing. It really has. So at Duke, where I work, we track the fact checkers around the world, and we've seen a growth of 50% in the number of fact checking sites around the world. And I think that speaks to a real need. People want to know what's true and what's not. And in the digital age, there's so much information out there. People want help to figure out what's true. And so there has been a growth in fact-checking, not just in the United States, but around the world.
Well, but do people want to know? I mean, that's my question, is there's a growth in the industry. There is a demand for wanting to know whether what was said was true. But does culture trump science in some cases when people simply don't want to know, when the fact violates my beliefs?
Well, the way to put it might be partisanship can sometimes trump science. I think there's definitely a phenomenon where when people find out that that the politician they support has said something inaccurate, they will resist that notion. And I think that's just a function of human nature and passion. You know, you don't want just like I know that the refs in the ACC are always calling unfair penalties against Duke. You know, I can relate to this.
Yeah. And that's been demonstrated. In fact, I think you put that on the Truth-O-Meter, and yes. clearly.
Exactly.
Well, talk about the Truth-O-Meter. This is interesting because it shows different degrees of truthfulness, which I think is an interesting way to do it. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so when we got started in 2007, I was inspired by the great work at factcheck.org, but wanted to do something a little bit different. And so we came up with the idea that we wanted to rate the relative accuracy of a statement on our Truth-O-Meter. And this provides a handy summary of how accurate a statement is. And it's been very successful. PolitiFact now has done 12,000 fact checks around the world and has 17 state affiliates, also had PolitiFact Australia. So it's been very effective. And it serves people who just want to know at a glance, well, how accurate is that statement?
This idea, Cheryl, of truth on a scale is a fascinating idea, and it does give us a little more comfort that it's not just on and off. But when it comes to science, there have been a number of interests that have, particularly corporate interests, that have made it an industry to cast doubt on what we know to be science. The tobacco industry did this and cast doubt on the power of cigarettes to take our lives, and went for a long time before they finally acknowledged that their research was garbage. And yet, they were able to cast doubt. And we can see a lot of this now in the global warming climate change industry, where simply casting doubt with sometimes bogus research is enough to cloud the issue, and all the facts in the world don't change things. How do you work with that? What is there anything to sort of work against that kind of pressure?
Well, it's tough. And a lot of these issues are extremely politicized, particularly during an election year. But I mean, I can tell you, under my other hat, I work full time at the University of Texas at Austin. I run a national poll on public attitudes on energy and climate change. And on climate change, the majority now of both Republicans and Democrats say that it is occurring. So we can't say why that happens. Maybe it's the Pope coming out and talking about it. Maybe it's more and more evidence. Maybe it's all the extreme weather events we've been having. But there seems to be a recognition that this is real and this is taking place. And maybe we need to come up with a reason to adapt.
But the idea that just it's the countervailing, it's the counter-truth to the big lie. If telling a lie often enough will allow people to believe it, no matter how preposterous, maybe telling the truth often enough, no matter how preposterous it is, might strike people ultimately as true.
I hope so.
So it's the big truth theory. But, Bill, have you noticed, too, that there will be partisan forces that will take your fact and misuse it, your fact check?
Yeah. In fact, my colleague Mark Stenzel calls that the weaponization of fact checking. And that's natural. And I think what we do at PolitiFact when people do that is we'll turn around and rate them on their use of our own fact check. And so we've actually Michelle Bachmann once claimed that we had said everything she had said at a previous debate to be true. She was wrong. So we gave her a pants on fire.
Eugene Kiley, are you fighting that, too, that you sort of have to fight that? Backroom war?
Absolutely. And like they do at PolitiFact, we will review what they said about us and our use of our material and determine whether it's been accurately used or not. And if we have to go back to previous articles and update that too, we'll do that.
Do you have any sense that politicians and their campaign managers are now a little bit more careful because your industry has grown so much?
Yes, for the most part. This campaign cycle has been a little bit unusual because we're dealing with Donald Trump, who's never run for public office before. But one of the beauties of fact-checking, at this point, it's part of the institution of journalism. And when we call, we can expect to get material back that supports the position of the candidate. So this is routine. It's part of journalism. It's what happens now.
Yeah, I find you'll hear Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio say things like, I'm going to be careful here because I might get politifacted. and that tells you, yeah. You know, I think our work really is making them more careful. Now, you know, yeah, there are plenty of candidates that will go ahead and say something, whatever they want, whether it's true or not. But I do find it encouraging that I think a lot of lies are not told because of fact checkers. And I think we're having a good impact.
I think to be weaponized and verbalized, that is changed into a verb, that's a good sign.
Yes.
This industry really matters. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today. Bill Dair, creator of PolitiFact. Cheryl Kirschenbaum is with me as well, and Eugene Kiley. Cheryl is the director of sciencedebate.org, and Eugene Kiley is the director of factcheck.org. Thank you both. Thank all three of you for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
They're participating in a panel called Science on the Campaign Trail, part of the North Carolina Science Festival. Tonight, 7 o'clock, The Frontier in Research Triangle Park. We have all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Sheldon Ormond. Robin Copley is our technical director. Al Wadarski is sitting in today. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.